Honeywell says you may need a database update before your next flight. Officials charge a Haitian man with triggering Saturday's JFK evacuation. And Hawaiian Airlines pilots have approved a new contract. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 19, 2009. The FAA has been made aware of an issue with a recent update to a navigation database that became effective on January 14th, affecting at least 11 Honeywell Bendix King products. Honeywell says it was informed by the data supplier, Jeppesen, that the file contained incorrect dynamic magnetic variations for all terminal and en route waypoint records. For that reason, it is imperative that the incorrect databases not be used for arrival, departure, or approach operations. Honeywell adds that if you're flying an affected model or are otherwise uncertain, a corrected database must be installed prior to your next flight. Find details including affected models and update procedures in the text version of this story, dated January 18th, at aero-news.net. A Haitian man has been arrested and charged with criminal trespass after he opened and went through a door to a secure area in Terminal 8 at JFK International Airport in New York about 3:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon. 57-year-old Jules Paul Balut has reportedly told authorities he simply made a mistake and that the door was not locked. Prosecutors tell the Associated Press the door was clearly marked as restricted. Thousands of people were evacuated and rescreened. Steve Coleman, a spokesman for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, says American Airlines is to blame for the unsecured door. Quote, it's their terminal, unquote. Prosecutors are pursuing charges that could put Balut behind bars for 7 years. Hawaiian Airlines pilots, represented by the Airline Pilots Association, have ratified a contract agreement with the company, with 90% of the pilots eligible casting ballots and approving the agreement 4-1. Captain Eric Sampson, chairman of ALPA's Hawaiian Airlines Master Executive Council, calls the deal a win-win. Quote, it rewards our pilots for their repeated sacrifices over the years on behalf of Hawaiian and positions our company for future success well into this new decade. We're looking forward to working with management to upgrade our fleet and expand our Aloha spirit across the Pacific, and we would like to thank the people of Hawaii for their strong support. Unquote. The 68-month deal brings raises of between 4 and 6% immediately and total increases of between 15 and 22% over the term of the contract. The company's contribution to retirement plans will rise. HAL management will have more flexibility in pilot training and scheduling, and Hawaiian will be able to acquire or codeshare with a turboprop feeder airline, provided the feeder does not compete with Hawaiian's existing inter-island turbojet operation. The previous contract was ratified in 2005 to help the airline emerge from bankruptcy. It became amendable on June 30th of 2007, and the pilots have been in negotiations for almost 3 years. Up next on ANN, Avadyne gets an approved model list for the EX-600. Alaska Airlines widens its use of required navigation performance. And NASA invites you to invent solutions to the challenges of long space missions. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 19th. I'm Paul Plack. With a number of light sport aircraft on sale in the U.S. now topping 100, Aero News Network is undertaking a project to help you sort them all out. Our LSA Challenge program will solicit manufacturers to submit their eligible aircraft to testing by a carefully selected committee of pilots and technicians who, over the course of a number of days, will evaluate the current crop of LSAs in terms of their performance, handling qualities, overall fit and finish, construction, ease of maintenance, and their suitability to certain segments of the market. It's our hope that these tests will tell you what you need to know and guide you through the dizzying list of choices. And if some manufacturers avoid the comparisons, I'm guessing you'll find that information useful as well. Read more about the program in text form, dated January 18th, at aero-news.net. Avidyne says it now has an FAA-approved model list for its EX600 multifunction display. The 5.8-inch daylight-readable color display has interfaces for 19 different radar systems, allowing replacement of legacy CRT radar displays with an MFD which can do much more. The AML covers over 650 makes and models in Part 23 Class 1, 2, and 3. The EX600 is now shipping. Prices start at $9,990 U.S. Bendix, Bendix King, and Collins interfaces are available at additional cost. Avidyne is also offering to accept older MFDs as trade-ins and will upgrade its own earlier EX500 starting at $5,495. Alaska Airlines says it's begun using RNP precision approach technology on its flights serving ADAC Alaska and will expand the use of RNP to Ketchikan in March. Required navigation performance uses GPS-augmented procedures to follow computer-plotted approaches with a high degree of accuracy. The airline hopes to have fewer canceled or delayed flights and save fuel. At Ketchikan, it will also allow lower minima. Alaska Airlines started using RNP in 1996 and uses it now at 45% of the airports it serves in Alaska, as well as at Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, and Palm Springs, California. The need to keep astronauts healthy during space missions has always been a challenge, and it's a bigger one now that planners are looking ahead to long trips to Mars. NASA is expanding its outward look for solutions in a partnership with a company called Innocentive, which will allow as many as 200,000 contributors on the company's network to participate in the search for specific solutions. The concept of community-based design is sometimes called crowdsourcing. Innocentive CEO Dwayne Spradlin notes, quote, "Now, anyone with interest and ability can impact how the U.S. explores the final frontier. NASA Space Life Sciences' commitment to open innovation is a testament to exploring solutions from any contributor," unquote. The first three identified challenges are developing improved barrier layers to keep food fresh in space, development of a compact, effective, aerobic, and resistive exercise device, and forecasting solar events. If you'd like more info on joining the Innocentive Network of Problem Solvers, which offers incentives between $5,000 and $1 million, visit www.innocentive.com. Still ahead, GPS is about to improve for everybody. NASA has an app for that. And it's model year closeout time. Every space shuttle must go. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 19th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA has lowered the price for a used space shuttle. Actually, the plan has always been to offer the retired shuttle fleet free of charge to institutions which will make the best educational use of and take care of the orbiters. But costs for shipping and the process to make them safe for exposure to the public was thought to cost $42 million each. But new estimates place the cost at only $28 million, no doubt allowing a sigh of relief for museum fundraisers everywhere. The bad news is you'll have to raise that money more quickly. NASA's estimate of delivery time is now 6 months earlier than in the original plan put forth in 2008. Responses are due to NASA by February 19th. The shuttle Discovery is already promised to the Smithsonian, but Endeavour and Atlantis are still in the game. Good luck and happy bidding. NASA's new media team, fresh off last year's successful campaign on Twitter, has announced the next step in keeping the public interested and up to date on happenings in space. There's an app for that. Look for the NASA app at the iPhone App Store. It's a free download that collects, customizes, and delivers dynamically updated information, images, and videos, including countdown clocks, the NASA image of the day, astronomy image of the day, online videos, and, of course, Twitter feeds. It also tracks the current orbital positions of the International Space Station and other spacecraft in three views: a map with borders and labels, visible satellite imagery, or satellite overlaid with country borders and labels. That third one's got to drive Hugo Chavez nuts. Officials with STRATCOM, the U.S. Strategic Command, and the Air Force Space Command say they're undertaking a project to reorganize the GPS satellite constellation for better coverage over Afghanistan and Iraq, where terrain can cause shadowing. STRATCOM reports it has approved an approach developed by the U.S. Air Force to make smarter use of what is now the largest GPS constellation in the system's history. The tweaks will take up to 24 months and are also promised to put more satellites within view of civilian receivers worldwide, potentially improving accuracy. And finally today, William Acosta and Robin Moore met in Dallas, Texas in 2008, while Acosta was on a business trip. A spark sparked, love bloomed, and the two became engaged recently. They got a marriage license, but they hadn't determined just where the ceremony would take place. Well, William was on a flight arriving at Corpus Christi International Airport last week when he noticed a woman in a wedding dress standing in the arrival area. When he got closer, he realized it was Robin, and she had a Justice of the Peace with her. The Associated Press reports that William, who was wearing a sweater and jeans, cheerfully exchanged vows with Robin and said he was thrilled with the wedding she planned. Pictures were taken near a Christmas tree at a TSA checkpoint. Now, guys, let's be careful here. This sort of thing is only looked back on as a good idea if she planned it. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll begin a two-part conversation between ANN's Jim Campbell and ICAST President John Cudahy, looking back on growth in the airshow industry in 2009 and how to keep it going this year. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.